And tonight I'm joined by Karen and Brittany. Hey ladies, what's up?
Hello.
Hi.
All right. So what have you guys been up to? Anything super exciting lately? No?
No, I started like another job. So I've been working from 9 p.m. to 4 a.m. and then getting up and going to my real job. So that's been fun. But other than that, you know, nothing.
That sounds a little intense. I'm not sure I could handle that.
That's for the holiday season.
Oh, okay, good. Phew, I was getting a little worried for you. How about you, Karen? What have you been up to?
I just went to Disney last week. That was super fun. I'd never been to the one in Florida before, so I got to wear my first visit button.
Yay!
Very nice.
Disney!
Disney!
And for those of you wondering what the crazy Disney thing is, my fingers weren't typing very well, and I may have spelt Disney wrong. Just throwing it out there. So for all of you out there listening, Disney is now a thing with an A instead of an E. Just make
it. I think that should be official.
I think Disney had a missed opportunity there.
I think so too. Mm-hmm. So let's talk. I think Karen is the only one who's actually been reading. I have not been able to pick up a book in the last like 2 weeks. Sadly, I am studying for an exam next weekend. And so the only thing I have been reading is textbooks, like literally for the last month. It's my life is very sad right now. But I will be devouring books the second this exam is over. So excited about that moment. I have a pile. They're ordered. I'll take a picture and send it to everybody because there's a lot of things that need to be read. Anyway, Karen, go ahead and tell us what you've been reading because you're the only one not slacking at this point.
Oh, man. I feel a lot of pressure right now. I only read one because I've been really busy, too, but it was a really good one. It's called Need by Joelle Charbonneau, and she wrote the Testing trilogy, so you guys might have heard me talk about her quite a while ago. And her Testing trilogy was a little bit Hunger Games, a little bit Divergent, and the first book didn't wow me, but by the end of the series, I really enjoyed it. And not to like say this saying, you know, the Testing trilogy wasn't that great, but like Need, you can tell she picked up her game big time. This book was excellent from start to finish, and she improved all the things that I didn't like in her other series, which I think is really important if you're going to continue writing, obviously, is to always improve. And I think she did a fantastic job with this book. It's about this website that pops up amongst these high school students. And it's another social media website, and it asks, what do you need? Not what you want, but what do you need? And a lot of the students say, oh, I need a new phone. And it kind of is supposed to teach them, like, what you think you need is not what you actually need. And so in order to get the things they quote-unquote need, they have to do something. And it starts off as like, oh, you know, sign up 5 of your friends. And then it goes to deliver this thing to this person's house. And then people start dying. And then dogs start dying. And all these terrible, horrible things happen. There's like a bomb in the school. And it gets absolutely nuts. And it shows how all these kids, like, they kind of start off and it's, it doesn't really mean anything. Like, nothing bad's happening. They're like, oh, I probably shouldn't do this, but man, I really want those concert tickets. So they do the thing, and then they want something else. And it kind of keeps building up, and it shows how far off track it gets and how they kind of make it in their head that all of this is okay, when really, clearly it's not. But it's really relevant to today because obviously we're all on social media and the things that we share. We don't think anything of it, but down the line, as more and more people get on social media and share their secrets and stuff like that, it could become dangerous. And I got to interview the author, and she talked a little bit about that and what inspired the story. And it was really good. So I highly recommend that to anybody.
Excellent. That sounds really exciting. I think that was on one of our book lists, too.
It was.
For Teen Reads Week. So That's always very exciting. All right. So now that, Brittany, you haven't read anything, right? If I'm reading correctly here.
No, I mean, I read scripts at my new job. So I read like 25 scripts from new writers last week, which was an interesting experiment in my ability to sit still. for that amount of time. But yeah, so I read a lot at work, and then like I said, my crazy work schedule. Now when I get on the bus, instead of reading or listening to podcasts, I promptly fall asleep. So yeah, I'll be reading after the holidays, because I have a lot of books that I want that I will, you know, talk about when we get to our gift giving episode.
Ooh, and that is coming up. Thank you for segging into that very nicely. Not so next weekend. There will not be a podcast next weekend, but the following weekend will be our big gift giving guide episode, right before the holiday season gets into full swing and you all go out and do some crazy Christmas shopping. And as you guys know, in years past, it's not just books we talk about. We talk about anything and everything you could get for the possible book lover, which is always super fun. And if you guys have any suggestions, please feel free to tweet at BookHype. And we will definitely include them as some suggestions from our listeners, because you guys tend to find some really cool stuff that we don't always find. And I'm always excited to see what people like to give for gifts. And half the time I end up going out and buying myself things. I think that happened last year, right, Karen? We were going through, we're like, oh, but I want that. Oh my God, I have to have it. There were so many cool things. So
yeah. And you also want
it or you need it.
It was a want. It was definitely not a need.
Be careful what you wish for.
I'll be honest. It was a want.
Shameless self-promotion as well. I don't know, you know, if everyone is aware, but I do a weekly feature on Hypeable called Geek Gifts. And I'll probably be doing like a book. My item will be a book thing to kind of relate to the podcast. But as you guys are sending book related gifts and everything to us, feel free to shoot me any fandom related gift, because I'm always looking for new and interesting things for Geek Gifts, the feature that we do. And especially if it's relevant to big news, that's always fun.
All right. So, you know, just send us some ideas. We like to buy things. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true.
That too. And moving right along with upcoming episodes, on December 1st, we're going to do our next book club episode. We're not going to do one for November because we literally just did the Rick Riordan book. And November kind of really kicks off the holiday season, and it gets sort of crazy really quick around here. So we're just going to pop into December and do our next book review. And it is going to be chosen, or it has been chosen, by Kristen, our co-host that's on every now and then. And she has chosen The Year We Fell Down by Serena Bowen. And conveniently, it just happens to be free on Kindle right now. So if you move pretty quickly, you can go and get it for free for yourself and then read along with us and join our discussion. Send us questions, comments. You know, we love that stuff. So this will be for our December 1st episode. And for those of you who want to know a little bit more about The Year We Fell Down, I'm going to tell you, courtesy of Kristen, because she's good like that. The Year We Fell Down is the story of Corey Callahan, a former hockey player that is now just trying to adjust to life as a wheelchair-bound freshman at Harkness College. She does her best to stay positive while navigating the not-so-wheelchair-friendly old campus. On moving day, she discovers that living in a handicap-accessible room comes with perks, one of which is the extremely attractive injured hockey player shacking up across the hall. The two become fast friends, and Corey does her best to keep Adam Hartley firmly in the friend zone. But as so many relationships do in college, things soon get complicated. So, Karen, have you read this one already?
I have.
And you loved it.
I really did, actually. Yes. I think, and yes, it is a romance, but there's a lot more to it. And some of the points she makes using the narrative is really nice. And there's a couple of things that she could have gone one way with it, but I'm really glad she didn't.
Excellent. So, again, this will be our December 1st book, and you guys are definitely encouraged to pick it up and get in on the book reviewing action with us. All right, so now on to our newsy episode. First things first, and I'm bringing this up because I've been receiving a lot of them in the mail, but I want to know, how does everyone feel about adults?
You have them?
Oh.
Do you have the Sherlock one?
No, not that.
Okay.
I've been receiving the, and like, I would give you the Sherlock one, let's be real. Did you really just ask me to give you something?
No,
Sherlock?
I just wanted to know if you asked it. And
anyway.
Color me a picture.
I'm totally going to get one now just to color you a picture. So we're talking about adult coloring books, in case you missed that through all that crazy talk. And clearly, Brittany's into the adult coloring books. Now, to preface this, the ones I'm talking about are these ones that are, like, really intricate pictures that, like, there's one about flowers, there's ones about hair. The one I just got the other day is the neon coloring book. So all of the pages have a black background, and you fill in the, you, like, color in the pictures, like, with whatever colors you want to make them pop off the page. So mine are not the, like, character-driven ones or the ones that are from, like, movies and TV. Not those adult coloring books. These are, like...
I mean, I have the intricate ones, but those are, like, come on.
You're like, that's
the one. I want the, like, you know, the beautiful Harry Potter one.
Oh, I did get that one.
What?
And that promptly went to Andrew, along with the Harry Potter Character Vault and the Harry Potter Illustrated Edition.
Like, Andrew should get Harry Potter stuff.
He drove to Barnes & Noble the morning it came out and got it, and you still sent it to him.
We worked on that. That's been resolved. So, yes, so that, the coloring book went to Andrew, sorry. Next time, I will ship it elsewhere.
You should color me a picture, then. I just want to see what it looks like.
So all of our listeners now need to tweet at Andrew Sims and let him know that he needs to color Brittany a Harry Potter picture. That needs to happen. Please, I beg of you. It'll make
Well, maybe he got me in the Secret Santa and he can just send me beautiful colored photos.
Ooh, that would be nice. All right. So feelings about these adult coloring books. Brittany, clearly you have some strong ones. What are they?
When I get really stressed, I like to put on a podcast and, you know, just color for a little while. I like to use colored pencils because they work better to get into all, like, the little spots. I've also used crayons because I am a huge believer in crayons. I love coloring books. I also have, I'm going to spoil this now, but Karen, I bought an Avengers coloring book for like a dollar and I colored you Iron Man a really, really long time ago and I never sent it to you, but it's here and I'll send it to you at some point.
Brittany.
I know. I colored it so long ago and I have just had it sitting on my desk and my nephew's like, that's really good, Aunt Britt. And I'm like, I know, it's for Karen.
That's amazing. Best story ever.
I'll tweet you a photo of it just so you can see it, and then I'll put it in the mail.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to hang it on my fridge.
Oh, I love... See, this is another great thing about coloring. You get your pictures put on the fridge, and I still enjoy that to this day at 25 years old.
I love it. All right, so Karen, how about you? How do you feel about coloring books?
I don't know. I don't really have feelings. Like, they're definitely not negative. If somebody put a coloring book and some colored pencils in front of me, I would probably color a picture, but I definitely don't, like, actively go out and get them. It sounds like fun. When I need to take a break, I just listen to the Hamilton soundtrack and play Mahjong. So maybe I should switch it up a little bit and listen to the Hamilton soundtrack and color.
Yes.
Yeah, well. I think you should make that happen. I have to say, the coloring books that I've been getting, like, stunning. They're gorgeous. This neon one is so cool because if you think about how you can interplay all the different colors with the black backgrounds, it's, I don't know, I really like it.
It's also really stressful because, like, mapping out your color choices, like, all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to put two yellows together and this is just not going to look good anymore. And you're like, it's,
yeah.
It's also very time consuming, like, a lot more than you would think.
You're, it's like, oh, highly detailed. Great.
Like,
yeah.
I'll do this a quick 20 minute. No, it's like 45 to an hour, like, to dedicate to a page. It's nice though.
It's very relaxing in a lot of ways. And as my grandma is informing me, because she has maybe captured a couple of these coloring books that I have, it's very good for the elderly, as she puts it. She's like, it's good for my brain matter. I need coloring books. She's adorable. So she's been coloring the coloring books that I got. It's pretty good.
Super cute.
She's adorable, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's always good for her, too. I like them. I think it's cool. I think the character ones kind of sketch me out a little bit. I don't know why. But, like, the ones for...
I mean, you wouldn't want to be, like, leaning over Benedict Cumberbatch's face trying to get his skin tone correct, because that's my ideal Saturday.
You know, I don't think I'd be down with that. But, you know, whatever. To each his own. But I think it's fun. And evidently, in the Sherlock one, there are hints about the characters and stuff. which is interesting. Yeah. There was a hint about is it not Mary? Is that her name, Mary? John's wife?
Yeah,
Mary. Yeah. Sorry, I got confused for a second. So there's a hint about Mary supposedly in one of the images. So I'm going to have to go back and like thoroughly read through that and see, but
this is a related random aside, but I don't know how I feel about Sherlock doing the Christmas special like in Victorian London era. What? I don't like it. I'm just throwing that out there.
I'm so into it.
Oh my god. Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Because he's Sherlock and gonna do whatever he wants.
No, you can't. It's a modern day Sherlock. You can't go back in time for a Christmas but it's a special. It doesn't make sense.
Karen. Oh,
I want anyway. It. Karen, I think it's gonna be fantastic.
Whatever.
I think so too. And they're gonna show it in movie theaters, which is kinda cool too.
Plus I love the Victorian-y Me type too. Stuff.
From, Me too, like, it makes the sense. Books.
Karen.
Well, it does make sense. It's not like they're saying we're time traveling. They're just, it's like a standalone. If they were doing like a Doctor Who type thing where it's like an alternate universe, I'd be like, okay, no. I don't know if that's how Doctor Who works. That's how I assume it works. but, you know. I'm into it. I'm very excited.
Me too. You know me. I love Sherlock in all its forms. I'm not fussy. I don't know. Anyway, totally off track. But Sherlock is a literary character, so we can kind of get away with it. Anyway, let's move on, shall we? So coloring books are a big yes. Readers, tell us what you think. Do you like coloring books for adults? All right, moving on. This is just J.K. Rowling's world, and we are all trying to survive in it. As you know, J.K. Rowling is the largest author ever on the planet, and she just keeps getting bigger and bigger. She is basically set out to take over all types of media. First with the Harry Potter books. Now we have a new Harry Potter play, which is opening in London next summer, called The Cursed Child. Hypeable is going in mass, a very large group of people.
I'm not going with them.
No, Brittany's going, but she's going separately, sadly. But there will be a large group of Hypeable staff going together for preview week, which is pretty awesome. We got tickets, I think, to the first show. And it's such a big show that you have to see it in two parts. Because, let's face it, J.K. Rowling's books were never small. There was no way she was going to help create a small story for a play. It was never going to happen. So we get to see that. And just this past week in EW, we got to get our first look at the Fantastic Beasts and where to find them. And she announced that she's writing another children's book because, well, she's J.K. Rowling and she can. So thoughts on J.K.? Because I know you guys love her.
I'm bitter I can't go to the play.
Okay.
I think Eddie Redmayne looks amazing, and I'm really, like, more excited than I already was. And do we know anything about the children's book? Because I'm a terrible person, and I actually didn't read the article.
No, we don't really know that much about the children's book, just that she's returning to writing children's novels. I don't think it's a picture book. I think it's, like, another, like, mid-juvenile grade book, but that's all I know.
Very cool.
Yes, very, very cool. First of all, I love historical novels. So the fact that Fantastic Beasts is set in the 20s makes me so excited. I love the fashion. I love all of that from that time period. And I am super excited about this movie. So there's that.
I am very excited about Fantastic Beasts. I was not excited when it was announced. I was like, okay, like, what are we doing? But then I saw Eddie Redmayne running through the streets with a wand, and I was like, yes, I'm here for this. 1,000%. But also, I've been, like, kind of iffy on anything that's come out post the final Harry Potter movie, any big reveal. I'm not into the Pottermore, like, you know, additional things. I find it exhausting, and it kind of is like not ruining because I still love everything that I've already read, but in a way that, like, I'm like, I can't get excited or frustrated with this because if I choose to, then I'm not going to like what I like about the books anymore. That being said, I am also very excited about the play, because it's something completely new. even though it's kind of interconnected, I just hope it doesn't come off as being like cheap, like, you know, like, oh, we're going to talk about this, like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge to all the past stuff that's happened. I hope they kind of like play it down and it's not as in your face, like, yes, this is part of Harry Potter. I hope it's like a really different experience. And I hope that they tape it or tour it so that everyone can see it and be happy.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the trickiest part, is how they're going to handle getting that to other people. I will say a lot of the plays that have been going on in Europe that many people, like Hamlet, when everyone wanted to see Benedict Cumberbatch in it, they did screen it at movie theaters.
Yeah, they did.
In late October, once the run was just about done. However, I don't think The Cursed Child has a specific run date, so I'm sure it will somehow make its way to Broadway. Or, yeah. You know what I mean?
And also, like, I mean, it's sold out through April 2017, so it's not like...
Are you kidding me right now? Really?
It's not like it needs the, like, you know, it can sustain itself for a while. And also, like, the demand is so high for it to be seen that maybe they'll transfer it or record it and then release it, like, within the next couple of years.
Yeah. I think that would be cool. And I think it's really cool because this is a story of Harry and his son. So I think it's really interesting to see how that'll play out, who they're going to get to play Harry. Are they going to age up Daniel Radcliffe? I mean, he's done stage work in the West End before. So how does that look? How does that work? Which is kind of exciting in a lot of ways, too, I think, to see who will be cast, to finally learn a little bit more about the storyline. So that's cool. Yeah, so, you know, and she's just J.K. Rowling, man. She's doing her thing, and she does it, like, relentlessly. She came out with Harry Potter, and she never stopped writing. And I think that's what's so impressive about her, is that it's not about the money. It's not about trying new things. J.K. Rowling is just, like, a creative being who wants to continuously pursue and create. And I think that's wonderful, because so many other authors who hit big with a first series or, you know, haven't really continued. They haven't tried something new. They've just kind of rested on what they had and done things like try to produce movies and none of that's really worked out. So I love the fact that she's continuing to write and create and to perpetuate the stories that people loved so much and took to heart so much. I think that's fantastic. All right, let's move on. Another hot topic these last couple of weeks, Disney Marvel YA. So in case you guys haven't heard, Disney, who owns Marvel, is their parent company, has decided that they're going to take all these very up-and-coming or hot YA authors and have them write YA novels about Marvel characters. So did you ever want to know what Iron Man was like as a teen? Not to worry,
yes.
Because it's going to happen. This is Karen's dream come true. First of all, Iron Man as a teen is everything she's ever wanted, and then some. So that one's coming. We just had the release of Black Widow, which was from Margaret Stoll, who happens to be a Disney author for her second series. And then we're also getting Captain Marvel. And that's going to be written by Shannon Hale, I believe. And who's Iron Man being written by? I know you guys told me and I totally spaced.
Ian Colfer.
Thank you.
Who wrote the Artemis Fowl series.
And he also just recently wrote the Warp series as well. He's very cool. I like him. He is a very sassy man. I saw him on tour one time with Rick Riordan and a couple other Disney male authors, and he is very feisty. So I think he's probably the perfect voice for Tony Stark. And Tony Stark as a teen, oh my gosh, it's gonna be out of control. I'm gonna tell you right now. So these are the things coming forward. There's also some more female driven stories that are coming. Tony Stark is the only male that's getting a YA adaptation. The rest of them were female, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, there's Squirrel Girl, which
that's right.
Is very exciting, apparently. Danya is very excited about it.
Yes, I thought she was kidding when she said Squirrel Girl. Like, I'm
she
sorry,
actually really loves it. Yeah.
I don't know anything about superheroes or Marvel, but that is one I can get behind.
On name recognition alone.
Yes.
All right, so there are lots and lots of exciting things, and clearly... you know, Disney's going to capitalize in any way it can on its lead properties, which are Star Wars and Marvel. And in case you guys didn't know, Disney already set out and released a ton of YA novels written by, again, very popular YA authors around Star Wars. A bunch of them just came out, like, leading up to The Force Awakens in December. I think, like, five literally just came out over the last 2 months. So there's that to look forward to as well. I think it's really cool that Disney is trying to take this very large market of fans that are, you know, superhero fans or Star Wars fans and try to make them into readers. I think that's really a cool way to try to introduce people to books in a lot of ways, or vice versa, trying to introduce, you know, really heavy readers into this universe that they maybe weren't interested in before. So I think it's a smart plan. I like that it's probably trying to reach reluctant readers in a lot of ways, even though it feels like it's out to make, you know, big bucks, which it is. But at the same time, I think it has a little bit more purpose than just that. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean, I'm into it, definitely. As somebody who's a huge fan of Marvel, whenever I can consume more of that, I will be happy. My only thing is, I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that it's not connected to, like, the MCU or anything like that, which is fair, because when you have so many books coming out, and to keep all the storylines intact would take, gosh, I don't even know how they do it between all the movies, let alone the movies and the television shows, and then to throw books in there. But, yeah, I mean, it's such a huge thing now that it kind of just makes sense that they're going to start turning to books and putting that out there for everybody as well.
Yeah, and I guess I also read that it would not be attached to the MCU. However, I highly doubt that they're going to be allowed to write these wild and crazy plot lines without someone from MCU taking a gander. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can't write them. Like, you have to stay within canon. So I'm sure that there are guidelines and rules around what that has to look like. You know what I mean? Or someone from MCU is skimming them to be like, oh yeah, no, this plot line's not going to work. We're not going to give you a reason. Just know that you can't do it. Because you can't have them out there just writing whatever they want. That would be a huge conflict for what they're trying to build within the MCU. So I'm sure that there's some oversight, just not sharing of, oh, hey, by the way, in this upcoming movie, this is going to happen. You should be able to reflect on that in your book. Because really, you're writing about a time before the MCU exists. So I understand how that works. Like, you're writing about these kids when they were actually kids. And so it's different. You might want to include things that shape their future. But yeah, I get it. Anyway, so another exciting announcement that came out over the last couple of weeks. How many of you are Philip Pullman fans? Yes? Yay or nay?
Yay!
Strong resounding yay from Brittany.
You haven't
read them yet, have you?
No, I have. I'm kind of down the middle. I think I talked about this before because I saw the movie first. I liked the movie. I know I'm only like one of five. Yeah.
I've never seen the movie.
I liked it, but I can understand why big-time fans wouldn't like it. That's totally fair. I really liked the first book, The Golden Compass. The other two I just couldn't get into, but I have some friends who are huge fans, and so I'm considering rereading them to kind of see if I can understand them a little bit more, because they were just kind of lost on me a little bit. But so I'm kind of in the middle. Definitely don't dislike them, though.
Excellent. Well, you'll have a chance to hopefully fall in love with them again, and then fans will hopefully get a second chance after a movie that left a really bad taste in their mouth, because the BBC announced that it is turning His Dark Materials into a fantasy epic TV series. So that'd be really interesting. Because this is the second time that we've seen a movie that did not do well, it was not critically acclaimed or acclaimed by fans in any way, then be picked up by a TV station or TV site, and I can't use my words correctly today, that was picked up by TV for TV to be remade, which I think is super interesting, because again, this happened with the Shadowhunters series. It was made into a movie. The movie did not receive a lot of fan interest, which was really surprising. And they've now picked it up and turned it into a TV show. and which is receiving lots and lots of interest and looks really cool. So I think it'll be really interesting to see what the BBC does with his Dark Materials. There's a lot there to work with, and it gets pretty interesting as the novels progress. So, and it's definitely high fantasy. They're talking polar bears, man.
Yeah.
I love the talking really, polar bear.
Of course you did.
I've never seen the movie, so I have nothing to really compare it to. I'm just basing it this off of, like, my 12-year-old self, like, geeking out over these books with my friends in grammar school. But this is, like, the third in a long line of adaptations where I'm actually excited about it. So it joins the Shadowhunters reboot, which is coming very soon, thank goodness, and also The Magicians, which I'm still really looking forward to. So these three, like, for someone who doesn't really, really, really enjoy, like, you know, high fantasy or stuff like that too much, I've recently gotten really into it. And my three series that I really like that are being adapted, I'm very excited about. So it's kind of confusing me. Maybe I'm growing up by thinking that fantasy is awesome, which is fine. That's cool.
I think it'll be cool. I think it has a lot to offer. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with this one and how it plays out in the long run. I think the BBC always aims to do really cool, really high-end work. Do you know what I mean? And they've had a lot of success with fantasy shows, or, you know, very in-depth shows that require a lot of special effects and stuff. I mean, if you look at Doctor Who, it's one big special effect, really. So I think it'll be interesting to see how they do with this one and this adaptation. So we'll see. Let's see. Okay, moving on to more adaptation news, because what's a week of news without adaptations to talk about? Fans of Neil Gaiman.
This adaptation, too. My gosh, I forgot about this one.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many.
There's a lot of, like, them. But I mean,
everything in Neil Gaiman's backlist is being, like, adapted at this point in time, kids. It's going to be pretty exciting. So for those of you who love Neil Gaiman, and I know lots of us do, Karen, have you ever read Neil Gaiman's books?
I have not, but Karen. I have Stardust sitting on my shelf.
Karen.
I know.
I don't even.
I know.
The Sandman, I think you would really like.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's, I'm so surprised creepy, you, so... yeah. I really would have thought you would have read Sandman by now. I'm not going to lie.
I want to. Does that count? Oh, I also have, did he write, is it called The Omen or Good Omens? Good Omens. I also have that on my shelf.
That's with Terry Pratchett, right?
Yes.
Good Omens? Yeah. All right, so let's discuss, because when I said his backlist is basically being adapted, that was not a joke. Natalie wrote up this great article kind of, like, bringing everything together so that everyone would know kind of what's coming up for him, okay? So plenty of things are coming your way if you like Neil Gaiman. So the first one is Lucifer. It's going to be a TV show. I know Laura screened this at Comic-Con this summer, and she, like, loved it.
So did I.
Oh, you got to screen it. Okay, good.
Yes, I saw it, and it is really good, especially for people who are, like, heartbroken over Constantine getting canceled. Clearly, it's a different story, but it's that same sort of, like, asshole hero that you kind of hate but can't help but love at the same time. It's kind of going to fill that void in terms of tone, and I am so excited for it.
Right. So Lucifer is played by Tom Ellis. You may have remembered Tom Ellis. He was the original Robin Hood on Once Upon a Time. And then he went off to do something else, and that didn't work out. So now he's going to be Lucifer, which is pretty sweet. So this incarnation of Lucifer comes from Sandman. And in particular, it comes from the fourth collection, Seasons of Mist. And that should be coming out in January of 2016. And I believe it's a Fox property, so it will be on Fox. Okay? So next we have, and I can't say I've ever heard of this. It's called How to Talk to Girls at Parties. Have you guys heard of this?
Yeah, it's just a short story.
That's now going to be a feature film.
Yes.
which is intense. And it already has a cast lined up.
With yeah, the, I just read that. Right? I didn't actually read this article till right now, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a lot further along than I
Yeah, and production's kind of like on its way. So they've taken this short story about the early days of the London punk scene, and it's reminiscent of his own adolescent life. And it's about a couple of young teenage boys who go to a party, meet girls, and encounter some very unusual exchange students. Less intercontinental, more interplanetary. So it's coming from the creator of Hedwig and the Angry Inch, and they're kind of just fleshing out the story and making it a feature film. It's already set to star Nicole Kidman, Elle Fanning, and Alex Sharp. It's pretty intense, you guys.
I could get behind that.
Right? And then this other one is going to be going to Sky. They are going to adapt Likely Stories into a four-part series based on Gaiman's short stories, and it will star an ensemble cast, which is crazy because this is, all of his short stories are being made into these big epic things, which is kind of fun too, I guess. So that set will be coming. And then American Gods. Have you guys?
Yes.
Yeah, this is on Brittany's must list.
I'm just very excited and equal parts nervous because Brian Fuller is attached to it, that it's going to be so good and then it's going to get canceled. Because Brian Fuller just does not have a good track record, and it's nothing against Brian Fuller. It's just that's what happens with his stuff. But I think Stars is a good place for this. So there's less of, like, who owns it? Who is leasing it? Does NBC want to do anything with this? Does ABC want to do anything with this? It's like, I think it's going to be good. I'm very excited. I love American Gods. I'm just really pumped about this.
Yeah, American Gods is super cool. It's got a lot of really, really cool things within it. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's about mythology. Like, all the gods of mythology are real. So it's got a lot of world building to do, which I think is really exciting. So Starz is picking it up. Starz has had a lot of success with adaptations and original content. So if it stays on Starz, it might do really well. We shall see. And then we have Fortunately the Milk. And this was another book that Gaiman did fairly recently. And this was actually just announced that the novel, which was a children's novel, will be set for the big screen, and it's got Brett McKenzie attached to write, and Edgar Wright is attached to direct, and of course Johnny Depp is attached to star, because what's a crazy children's novel without Johnny Depp?
And he just like embodies sort of like Gaiman's universe. Like, I feel like if you look at Johnny Depp, you're like, yeah, you could pretty much fit in anywhere.
Exactly. And they have like people set up to do the animation in parts as well, so it's really, really cool. And Edgar Wright is pretty cool. He does a lot of really cool things. You know, he was attached to Ant-Man before production began, and like right up to the like very end, he decided not to do Ant-Man in the end. So I don't know. I guess it'll be really cool. And then, of course, lastly but certainly not least, the Sandman comic series is also in the works of being adapted. So that's pretty cool. I think right now it's a really good time for things like Sandman, just with everything else that's hitting big right now within the world. You know, if you look at the MCU universe, if you look at DC starting to build itself, I think that working on Sandman, which is a DC property right now, I believe, would be effective for them. It'd be something they can add to their kind of repertoire of films that they're trying to build within the comic universe. So I don't know. What is the one thing out of that list, Brittany? I'm gonna go with you because I know you know most of them, that you're the most excited for.
I think
I know. Only one. It's a tough choice.
I'm gonna go with American Gods just because I heard Brian Fuller talk about it and he's really excited about it. So when he's invested in something, he goes all the way, and I think nothing is going to be, with how much detail he put into just Hannibal, like he made those three seasons out of like a passage from a book, and now he has this entire book to work with. I think it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I'm really excited about American Gods because I love the premise of it, and I think there's a lot of imagery that you can create from the book that'll be super cool. Like, that's what I'm most excited about. I love it when a book just gets it like, or not a book, an adaptation gets it right, and the look and the feel of it is exactly what it needs to be. So I think American Gods could easily transition, depending on, you know, where, what they do with it, what he decides to do with it. And like you said, Fuller does have a lot of really good ideas and some cool things to just the way he already works with adaptation. So it should be pretty cool. Karen, do you have one after hearing about all of them that you really want to see or read?
I mean, Sandman has kind of been on my list for a while. I will say American Gods because Natalie is a huge fan of Gaiman in general, but she's really excited about American Gods too because of Brian Fuller. And I know how much passion he has for the projects that he works on. So those are definitely at the top of my list. But just because I saw the pilot of Lucifer, I am incredibly excited for it.
Yes, that's right. I keep forgetting you get to see the pilot. I'm kind of jealous. I want to know more about it. Love it. All right. Okay, so last bit of news. Have either of you read The Girl on the Train?
Yeah, I have.
Did you like it? I didn't read it, I'll be honest. It was like one of those things that was so like hyped and talked about, and they did all this promo, and I never got around to reading it. So tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, I did like it. I liked it in the same vein that I liked Gone Girl. It was a fast read. It was suspenseful. All of my one friend picked it up and read it in a day, and then she was like, you guys have to read this book, so I have someone to talk to about it. Yeah, it was good. It's very much like Gone Girl. And I think if I could separate the two, like go into this having not read Gone Girl, I would have liked it more. It's a mystery. It keeps unfolding and there's all these like, you know, things that happen. I read it so long ago. Long ago, it came out this year, but you know, when you read something, when it first comes out and you get through it in one day. I didn't like the ending. I'm not going to give it away, but I didn't like it. It felt cheap to me. But I think it'll benefit from a movie in the same way that Gone Girl did. It'll be better. I think it'll be better as a movie. Because I really liked Gone Girl as a movie more than a book, which is odd. Because yeah. I normally am not that way.
I really liked Gone Girl as well. I definitely agree. Okay, so some news about Girl on a Train. Now that you've filled us in, thank you very much.
I barely filled you in. It's very, if you give one thing away, you kind of
give it all away. Yeah.
So I wanted to tiptoe around it and also.
That's fair.
Fail it.
So here's the deal. Originally set to play in Gone Girl were Chris Evans, of course, of Captain America fame, and Jared Leto, who is playing the Joker in DC's Suicide Squad. Both of them are set to star opposite Emily Blunt, okay? Then Evans backed out due to a conflict of scheduling, probably something to do with his very large Marvel contract. And Justin Theroux stepped in. Justin Theroux, who's married to Jennifer Aniston. He's also in The Leftovers, I believe.
Yeah.
And so he has stepped in to play Chris Evans' role. And then just recently, it was also announced that Jared Leto had to back out due to scheduling conflicts. These superhero movies, man, they're killer. And that Luke Evans, who will be Gaston in the upcoming Beauty and the Beast adaptation, will be now replacing him. So Girl on the Train cannot keep a male lead to save its life at this point. Like, it's had a lot of casting changes within its male lead actors. So now we'll have these two lovely gentlemen instead of Chris Evans, a.k.a. Captain America, and Jared Leto, a.k.a. the Joker. Which kind of would have been funny, I think, to have them in the same movie. Just because it is. Anyway, so it sounds really interesting. And it'll be interesting to see if it does as well as Gone Girl. Gone Girl was super successful in how it played its audience and how it played the storylines it had within it. And the thing about Gone Girl that's really interesting is that the author of the book also wrote the screenplay, which is not usual. Like, that's a very atypical thing to happen. So I thought that was really cool. I do not know who is writing Girl on a Train. I lied. It's at the bottom of the article. So Aaron Cressida Wilson is writing Girl on a Train, or is adapting it for the big screen. So I guess we'll see how that turns out. It comes out on October 7th of 2016. So still a ways away, little under a year. But it'll be interesting to see if it does as well as the book did, because the book was super successful. It kind of just swept the nation with its mass marketing of girls on the subway all reading Girl on the Train at the same time and all those really funny marketing things, in case you guys
don't remember.
Oh.
Well, because literally someone, like one of my friends, was like, hey, I just read Girl on the Train, because she, like, as soon as a book comes out and it gets buzzworthy, she's like all over it, and that's she'll only read books like that.
Oh.
And so
such a boring life to lead.
She's like, you all have to read this, blah, blah, blah. And normally she's wrong. But this one I liked, so good job.
Very cool, very cool. And I totally, that was not our last news item. We have one more news item that we're going to talk about, because I forgot about it and I don't know how. You guys know that we loved Simon versus and the Homo Sapiens Agenda when it came out, early spring? Is that when it came out? And we reviewed it and we loved it. We couldn't get enough of it. Now they are adapting Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda into a movie at Fox with none other, of course, than Temple Hill Productions. If you guys are not aware who Temple Hill is, Temple Hill is made up of Wick Godfrey and one other producing partner. And I'm going to forget his name. I think it's Marty. His name is Marty. I don't remember his last name. That's really terrible. I'll look it up, I promise. And the two of them kind of go around and pick up young adult novels and make them happen in the real world. So Wick Godfrey was most famously attached at first to Twilight, and that's probably the first time anyone had ever, you know, within the YA community had heard his name. He has since gone on to produce John Green films, Paper Towns, and, of course, The Fault in Our Stars. He's done production on a ton of Nicholas Sparks movies. So they're kind of in it. They understand the book adaptation game, and they're really good at it. They work really hard to keep it true to a story and know what fans really love and want. So they are adapting Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda. And I have to be honest, if they screw this up, I'm not going to be happy. Like, this is real. You cannot screw this up. This is not okay.
I should probably read it.
Oh my God, Brittany!
I know. I knew as soon as I said that would be the reaction I got, and I wanted to take some pressure off of Karen for having not read any
Thank
of Neil Gaiman
you.
Stuff.
Thank you. Oh, so, this is why we're friends.
Throw myself under the bus for this one, but yeah, I've not read this book.
You need to get it. I think you'll love it, actually. Like, it's so, so good. It's just a lot of fun to read, and I actually got to meet Becky Abertalli. I went to the Teen Author Festival in Boston. And she was there, and I went up and I went to get my book signed. And when I said, oh, you know, I really love your book, I'm like, I actually write for Hypeable. She almost, like, cried. Karen can attest to the fact that when people get really excited or almost cry around me because they're excited because we work for Hypeable, I get super uncomfortable. Like, I don't know what to do because I'm just a person just like they are. Like, I just, you know, I write articles or we talk about books, and it's just something we like to do. That's why we do it. So when people get that way, I'm like, I really just like your book. Please stop crying. It was a little awkward. But then she's like, oh my God, can I hug you? And I was like, sure, that's okay. I don't mind. Fine. But she's super, super sweet, you guys. And listening to her talk about her book and talk about her writing process, like, she's phenomenal just as a human being. Like, and the way she writes this book, I think, is what's so exciting. There's just so much in this book that we loved so, so much. So, I don't know. Karen, do you want to add anything to that?
I just wanted to say that I have a lot of faith in Wick because he obviously, yeah, he did the John Green books and they were a huge success. And I think
he also did Maze Runner. I totally
yes,
forgot.
Yes, that's what I was segueing into, because he can do contemporary, but also, like, he's good at picking out books and kind of knowing the properties that I think are going to speak to a lot of different types of people. And Maze Runner, I've said it before, you know, the books, like, they're good, but I thought the movies were phenomenal. And anytime you can take something from a book and turn it into this other being that still is loyal to the book, I think is really exciting, because you can do a word-for-word adaptation, but I don't think you're ever going to get everything right. And so if you can kind of put your own mark on it, that's cool. And I hope that he's able to do that with this book, because I did enjoy it a lot, but I'd like to see, you know, how they're going to adapt it and what other things they can throw in there that maybe we wanted from the book the first time around, because it was one of those where it's like, I just wanted to know every single detail. And of course, you can't always get that because you're kind of in one person's head. So I'd like to see how they approach perspectives and stuff when it comes to the movie.
No, definitely. And I hope they keep it not obvious, because I think that was the beauty of the book, is that it wasn't obvious
yeah.
who Simon was talking to, and I think that's really important for it to not be obvious. The other thing is honestly, this entire adaptation will completely depend on who Simon is, who is cast as Simon. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't cast the right person as Simon, it'll never work. It won't happen. Do you know what I mean? Like, he has to be right. Like, he has to be just snarky enough and just self-aware enough, and like, there has to be a lot of elements that play into it. So it'll be really interesting to see how the casting goes for this film, because he has to be right, otherwise it won't work. And Brittany, your homework, and yes, we do give out homework here, is to read Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda.
Okay, I accept.
Thank you. It's you'll be able, like, honestly, you'll read it in probably 2 hours. Like, it's super fast, you can't put it down, it's really good. So enough of that. All right, ladies, do you have anything else that we should announce or talk about before we sign off?
Just send us your gift ideas, because I love looking through gift ideas.
Me too. And we have a hypeable gift exchange that the staff does every year.
Ugh, I'm so excited. I have so many ideas.
Me too.
I have ideas, but I can always use more. Because I have someone really cool, and I want to get him just the right thing. So last year I had Andrew. It was so easy. Like, I was like, oh, this is perfect. This year it is still really good, but I'm like,
So mine is so good this year. So good. So excited.
Brittany's like, I am so in.
And I love everyone on Hypeable staff, so you never really know who I'm talking about.
This is pretty accurate. It's pretty good. So any gift ideas, definitely send them in. And of course, we told you guys, we are reading The Year We Fell Down by Serena Bowen. That will be our book club book for December. And once again, it is free right now on Amazon, so you can't exactly go wrong, kids. And until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Karen.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.